Today is the last of the summer classes that we have been studying this great spiritually illuminating text, The Cloud of Unknowing. It is a book of contemplation and meant for those who are serious spiritual seekers. He has mentioned right in the prologue of the book that it is not meant for those who are looking for some frivolous pleasures or have some idle curiosity. It is meant for those who want to experience God and are ready. Mentally, at least, they are ready to do whatever it takes to realize this true self. And this is how the book begins. And we let us do this prayer. Please recite. God, unto him all hearts be open, and unto whom all will speaketh, and unto whom no privy thing is hid. I beseech thee so far to cleanse the intent of mine heart with the unspeakable gift of thy grace, that I may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thee. Amen. So, last time we were saying that there would be many theoretical questions popping up in our heart. The mind is in general in flux, constantly moving around here, there, everywhere, and it expresses itself as thinking about, unfortunately, all the useless things. Many times our thought brings us to a conclusion, but now the question is to act on that conclusion. But instead of that, it goes back again and again, keeps on rethinking the same thing. It is in Sanskrit it is said that this process is a useless process. Like you have a flower already, say wheat or something, you have got the flour, and now you are putting it in the grinding mill again. It is useless, it is not going to make it any finer. So our thought process sometimes does exactly this. We thought and got convinced, and now the question is that of sticking to that conviction. But instead, the mind tends to go back and starts all sorts of unhelpful, unnecessary, not only that, distracting questions. There is only very limited time for us to go about this great work of realizing God. And yet, lot of time is just wasted in actually, so to say, nothing. So therefore, he warns that this thought will come to us in the form of some holy questions, that who is this God, what is it about, and although we have seen earlier and we understand this, that our intellect has no skill in that. Our intellect falls short of reaching the answer to these questions. And so the wise thing therefore would be, go as far as the intellect takes us and then keep it aside. It is like we want to say, go to China and then We cannot go to China by car. It is too far, and then also the car doesn't go on the waters. So we use the car or any such surface transport to get to the airport, and then drop it and take the spaceship or aircraft or whatever it is that can take us there. So similarly, we have to go along with the intellect till the field of intellect is. Now when the domain of intellect is now ended, now if you still want to use it, you will just come back. Nothing more than that will be achieved. And therefore he has told that whenever the idea comes what this God is, the only answer you should give is that from which I come, my source. That's it. Whatever we see around us, it is sourced in God. Like what we were meditating, all the waves are sourced in ocean. What is ocean? Well, what is the substratum of all the waves that you are seeing? That is ocean. So also, this idea, what is God? This question keep on bothering. What are his characteristics? What is the height of God and what is the weight of God? Do not go into these things. Whether God is compassionate or not compassionate, do not go into it. In fact, it was a very daring statement that he had made in this, that do not think even about the compassionate God. Do not even think that all his acts of grace. Just leave that. With your intent, keep on praying. Do not get into unnecessary argumentation. This is very important. The questions do come to mind, but if we hook on to them, then they create disturbance in us. These questions are like the virus, you know, that come to into our that emails. And if we start answering, means we are opening those attachments, and then everything gets corrupted. Therefore, we should let it be. Just press the delete button. That's all. Let it. These. Why? Where from do these emails come? Don't waste your energy in worrying about. Just protect yourself. Do not start intelligent about it. These questions. Keep them aside. Otherwise, the mind will just become a disturbing place. It will be disturbed all the time because of these again and again same questions cropping up. So he said, do not say anything else except that is my source, and no further answer is necessary. And then he says, love is the vehicle now. Intellect has done its job. Intellect is important. Do not throw the intellect to winds before getting there. Like we go to the airport by surface transport. We do not say, no car is necessary. Oh fellow, the plane doesn't land on your home. You know, you have to get to the airport, and for that you are using this train or car or whatever is excellent. So we have to use our intellect till the intellect's field is finished. And now we have to get on the plane called love. This is the means now to go ahead. Let your heart, lift up your heart to God with a meek stirring of love. God who made you and so forth, that is sufficient. Do not say anything more about God. He says, and I am quoting, "For this reason, whenever you feel yourself drawn to devote yourself to this work, and whenever you feel by grace that you have been called by God to do it, lift up your heart toward God with a meek stirring of love, and understand by God, the God who made you and formed you and who has graciously called you to your present degree. And do not accept in your mind any other conception of God. And not even all this is necessary." This is also not really necessary. But just since the questions are cropping up, you have to tell something. At one point, even this is not necessary. In Vedanta, you read that how the God is to be understood. Last time we saw that the teacher explains to the student that from which all this, you and all around you, this world basically has risen, like waves in the ocean, and where it is sustained and where it dissolves back, that is God, and you have to realize that God. This is the sign of God called that God seen as from the, like you see the river from the bank. Tatastha means from the bank, you are seeing the river. So it is being seen in relation to the bank, not in itself. You are not inside the river. You are not actually sensing the waters by touch. You are little at a distance and looking at it. So also we are looking at God from our perspective. And it is all right as a starting point. But we should not be stuck only at the starting point. We should move on. And if we do not even need to answer this question, do not go into this vain discussion on it. It is a addiction for many that passes for spiritual practice, that they form a club and keep on discussing. Nowadays they are all internet clubs, you know, what is that, that forums, you know, so they keep on chatting about these things for ages, that one person says like this, another person says like this, then this fellow responds, then that fellow responds, and it goes on. And it is mistaken for a spiritual practice. But it is really not so. You are coming back again and again to this same point. So what needs to be done is raise your awareness through the meek stirring of love. So, and if you desire to have this aim concentrated and expressed, it is, what he says here is the naked intent. This word he has used quite a few times, which is in Vedanta and the Sanskrit literature, the term is mumuksha. It is just intent to become free. So, becoming free, that's it. I do not want to worry about the details of the bondage. It is just I want to get free. So this intent is enough. But in case these questions come, let us be careful not to get drawn into unnecessary discussions about the nature of God. It is why? Because we do not and cannot know anything beyond this, that yes, God is the source. The moment we go to describe anything more than this, we are sure to commit an error. And so, let us not get into it. It is a useless and distracting exercise. So, this is sufficient. A naked intent direct to God, that is sufficient. This concept of God, even this concept that God is our source and so forth, is not necessary for those who are already set on it. It is for those who are not set on it, and they get this question, and they should be careful and not to answer it beyond this clear answer that God is my source. Like our Sarvagatananji used to define, say, God, it is God is G-O-D, ground of our dwelling. That's it. You know you are, and where do you come from? Okay, that's God, that's it. Where are you sustained? Well, that's God, that's it. And what is going to happen to you? Where are you going back? You are going to God, that's it. There is nothing more than that needs to be inquired about. And now comes the question about the spiritual practice. We know in Vedanta, in Hindus, in Buddhists, there is this idea, great idea of mantra. In common Christianity, there is no such idea present. There is no idea of giving a mantra, although there are prayers that get repeated, like in, especially in Catholics, there is that Hail Mary and glory to be, what is that? And? Glory be to the Father, and such prayers are there that you repeat, but they cannot be termed as mantra. Repetition of mantra is something different, and this is the only book in Christendom that I have come across this idea of a mantra, a repetition of mantra, and it says exactly the same concept, very beautiful idea. And if you desire to have this aim concentrated and expressed in one word, in order that you may be better able to grasp it, take but one short word of a single syllable. This is better than two, for the shorter it is, the better it accords with the work of the Spirit. It has to be short. It need not be very elaborate. In fact, the shorter the better. Therefore, in Hindus there are these mantras. That every mantra has actually the cardinal point in every mantra is Om. Om is given as in Bhagavad Gita, in most of the Upanishads, many other places. Om iti ekaksharam Brahma. Om is the Brahman, the God, contained in this one letter. Now, one syllable, Om. In there, in having this word Om, a lot of thinking has gone in why this particular syllable is the best of all, because it comprises every sound in a symbolic way. There is lot of symbolism and lot of information technology that has gone into having this particular sound to represent God. It is otherwise there will be always the questions, and the mind will think of this word, that sound, this sound, which sound should I do, and the whole purpose of concentration will thus be gone. And for 5 minutes one will be toying with one syllable, after some time you will start toying with another syllable, and therefore you will not really progress at all, because concentration is the chief idea behind taking up a mantra, that we want to start feeling the divine presence, and the scattered mind needs to get focused on it. So this is an important, very, very important step really, that leads to further progress in life. It opens the door. Having a mantra is like calling, you know, it is a calling bell. So when you have a calling bell, and if the bell really in one big office, there were therefore the boss would like sometimes to talk to this person, sometimes to that person, sometimes somebody else. So had different these things. If the bell rings only once, then this fellow has to come. Then if it rings twice, then the other person has to come. So there was all this symbolism was there about it. And thus, when a sound is there, the sound has to connect with something. It is already decided what sound connects to what. So, when there is this sound, say a or kha or tha or dha, all these different sounds, they have to be combined in this sound. Nothing should be left out. Important thing about this earlier that concept of God, like ocean and ground of our dwelling, that nothing is apart from it. It contains everything. So the sound that represents God will also have to contain all sounds. So that is how this sound Om has become primordial mantra. But this teacher, this particular culture in which he was giving this teaching, comes very close to the idea of Om, one syllable. But since he didn't have that that particular sound, he says that just one word, such a word is the word God or the word love. Choose whichever one you prefer, or if you like, choose another that suit your taste, provided that it is of one syllable, and clasp this word tightly in your heart so that it never leaves it, no matter what may happen. That is the rope with which you will be climbing now, the very high mountain. The path is slippery. So what these mountaineers do, they hold on to that rope tightly and keep on going ahead. Even if there is not proper foothold, if they have the rope properly held on to, that makes them survive and keep on marching ahead. So this mantra is that. It is both. It is an aid to climb on this difficult path, as well as a tool of security, and therefore it is, he says, this one syllable, this will be the shield and the spear. I like this term. It is a shield. It is a protective gear for you. That is the shield is for. It shields you from various attacks, various temptations, which can cause fall for a spiritual aspirant. It is a steep uphill climb, and therefore the chances of fall are always there. What can protect us from this fall is this mantra, this shield. It becomes the shield, a protection. Holy Mother has therefore mentioned that, well, mantra provides a protection. It is, one gentleman was explained by Swami. He tells whenever he meets that how he was explained this idea of initiation and mantra and so forth. He was a rank disbeliever in this, but he understood that we do have emotional hiccups in life. Mind is sometimes very disturbed, depressed, and feel that there is no one for me to speak to. It is like yesterday, one lady called at night and said, well, I have no one to talk to you, that is why I have called you. It is not that she has no relations, or but whom to tell these things, so therefore she called that will you feel if you have this mantra, then you have something, somebody to speak to you, somebody, something that protects you from all different attacks of temptations. Think of the mantra, and it creates a firewall around you. It is in computers, you have a firewall, that when some virus and other things are about to attack, then the firewall keeps them out. So this is a firewall. This mantra creates a firewall around you. Shield. It is the shield. And it is the spear. It takes you ahead. The spear is for attacking. Spear is not for, you know, protecting only. It is attacking, and attack is many times, as they say, best way of defense. So it is for forging ahead. Go forward and conquer. Spear is for that. Shield is for your protection. So mantra, this shortest syllable, this word, this is the most important thing, that it keeps on protecting a spiritual aspirant. Moreover, in this mantra, you have to see that everything is contained in it. This word shall be your shield and your spear, whether you ride in peace or in war. With this word you shall beat upon the cloud and the darkness. With this spear you will, that is the word, you keep on hitting it. Now you see how the connection between this piercing of the cloud of unknowing and this word. This word is God. That representation of God for you is this word. That is, you all know, that is how the Gospel of John begins. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. This Word. Now this Word, with the use of this Word as spear, now keep on piercing this cloud of unknowing. Do not give way to unnecessary thinking. as to when it is going to be pierced, do not worry about it. Keep on piercing, and you will see that it starts getting a hole. Never think about when will it happen. This is again another waste of time. When is it going to be finished? An aspirant does get these thoughts, but one should always put it down, saying that these are useless things. When am I going to realize God? When you realize, like one of our volunteers, and she does a lot of work, and when I ask, well, what time are you going to come get here? And she replies that, well, I have many things to do. I will come there when I come there. Now, it doesn't actually say anything much, but that is how the things are, that why worry about it? When I get there, I get there. That's it. I will get there when I get there. It is, do not worry about what time, when, and so forth, and that it is, do not keep on asking this question, how much time is left for me to see God? It is waste of time. So, keep on piercing this. With this word you shall strike down thoughts of every kind and drive them beneath the cloud of forgetting. Remember, we had earlier discussed this cloud of unknowing and cloud of forgetting. A cloud of unknowing, that is between me and my God. And cloud of forgetting, I need to insert. There in my scope, my scope of my work lies there. Insert the cloud of forgetting between me and the world. That in the world, because it is a distracting thing. It will prevent me from hitting the cloud of unknowing with this spear. And therefore, I must put this cloud of forgetting and press all the other queries below this cloud of forgetting. Do not pay attention to them. It is very, very important that all such queries, they may be very good and very nice, and they may give us the idea that they are spiritually elevating, and yet we have to press all that down below the cloud of forgetting. It is certainly harmful to, you know, think about all other things, but even the thinking, so-called thinking about God, can also be harmful. And in a sense, more harmful, because when I am thinking about, say, which TV I should be buying, I am aware at least that I am not really doing any spiritual practice. I am not meditating on God or praying to God. I am just thinking of what TV to buy. At least I am aware that I am not doing any spiritual practice. In this case, what happens is, I am not doing spiritual practice, but I am thinking that I am doing it. And so this is more dangerous. It is, if I am not going towards destination, I am not walking towards that, at least I know that I am not doing it. But if I have the illusion that I am walking, I just have, what is that exercise instrument? Treadmill. Treadmill. I am just walking on the treadmill. Thank you. I don't go anywhere, and yet I get the illusion that, okay, since I am walking, I must be getting closer and closer. This thinking is like this, that thinking about the qualities of God and how the nose of God should look, how all such things, you know, where, in which exactly, which corner of heaven will God be found. Do not worry about it. It is, these are all distracting thoughts. So, avoid those, put that under the cloud of forgetting. After that, if any thought should press upon you to ask you, what are you seeking? Answer him with this word only and with no other words. This practice is to be taken up. I like this, you know, so nice, so effective actually, that if this question comes, what am I seeking? Just say that God, that mantra, just say the mantra, that there is nothing else to be told. If where is God, just repeat the mantra. Where does that come from? Just repeat the mantra. After a while, you will see the queries will start dying down, because same answer is being given. So the questioner gets basically bored. Nothing else is being. But if we start indulging, then the argument between the so-called questioner inside and the answerer also inside, there is this war begins. And we spend hours and hours and hours thinking that, well, this is a spiritual discussion. No, it is not at this stage. Maybe at a stage where the conviction was yet not ripe, it could have been helped by that discussion. Just to know the futility of it, that's all. But when you know it after repeatedly having tried it, now that wisdom should dawn that there is no point in keeping on asking the same thing over and over again. Because the and same answer should therefore be given. When am I going to realize God? Same, just repeat mantra. Do not do anything else. It is, that is the safe way to get rid of this so-called holy questioner. It is, the queries will stop. It is like this, that if you ask somebody a question and then that person mumbles something that you don't understand at all, again you repeat the question and the same sound is thrown back at you. After asking maybe 2-3 times, you know that there is no point in further probing in this manner. So you stop asking. And what will happen when we stop asking this question? What will happen to our mind? It will just repeat the mantra. It will get calmed down. And the disturbance created by this will settle down. There will be no stirring because of too many unnecessary thoughts. So, Sri Ramakrishna, there is this very beautiful conversation there. The Chronicle of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. He was a school teacher, a very learned man, and thus used to ask many questions, bring up all the so-called logical argumentations. So Sri Ramakrishna told him that, okay, this just asking such questions and raciocinating is not going to help. Do you agree? Yes. So, repeat now. Henceforth, I will not get into arguments. Henceforth, I will not get into arguments. Sri Ramakrishna took this kind of assurance from him that no further argumentation about it. The job of argumentations and all that is done. Now do not again put flour into the grinding mill. It will not do anything. The flour is there already with you. So do not waste further energy. So this is important to know for a spiritual aspirant. Even Narada, the great teacher who wrote the aphorisms on devotion, tells that vado navalambhyah, do not get into unnecessary argumentation with somebody else. You feel that it is your job to convince the whole world about the that God is and we should be spiritual. Who are you to convince? Many times I get these questions that when such and such person asks me the proof of God, what should I tell? I tell, well, why do you need to answer first of all? It is that person going to be convinced? I do not need to answer every question. It is, am I answerable to everybody around? I am not. So, if that person is sincere, then the answer will be found. But for argumentation, one should not get into it. That will spoil one's own devotional practice. So, keep on repeating the mantra. After that, if any thought should press upon you to ask, to ask you what you are seeking, answer him. Him means that person in you. With this word only and with no other words. And if he should offer you his great learning and offer to expound that word for you and to tell you all the conditions and modifications of the word, you are to answer him that you will have it whole and not broken apart or analyzed. It is that no other explanation. When I was given the mantra by my great teacher and then I foolishly asked, what is the meaning of the mantra? What is the meaning? I want to know the exact meaning. What does it mean? Well, he said that the meaning is what you get by repeating it, you know. Keep on repeating it and you will arrive at the meaning. The meaning cannot be told. It means God, that's all. They, nothing more than that, nothing less than that either. The syllable is God. And it is like the ladder. It can take you from where you are gradually to where you need to ultimately go. So this is in Kathopanishad, it therefore says that this mantra is the support and the means for forging ahead. It is like the rope that I described earlier. It is the rope, and you can go with that rope as high as you want to go. It is, if you want to stop in between, okay, stop for a while, but don't leave the rope. Keep on holding onto that rope. No other explanation or deciphering is to be indulged in. This is very important. Mantra is complete whole. This is that deconstructionist methods which the academics are very fond of should not be used here. deconstruct everything and then try to find. But the problem with the deconstruction is, if you unbutton or unbuckle different parts, then every part gets completely lifeless. Let me see what is happening in the head. And so if you cut the head of a living man, that let me see what is happening there. Now nothing will happen. Basically, you will not be able to study that. It is like this, a mantra is a complete whole. You cannot study mantra by the method of this deconstruction. It cannot, it is not open to that. So therefore, it is a great advice, friends, that we should not indulge in this. And if you will hold fast to this purpose, you can be sure that he will not remain very long. He means again that questioner. That questioner will not remain very long. It is now very long. Again, do not ask this question. How long then? Very long means very is a relative word, and so you will get in another argument. It has already been told that no time frame can be given. Not very long means you will see it receding, that's all. The questioner will start keeping quiet. And why is this so? Because you will then not let him feed himself on such sweet meditations of God as we described before. The sweet meditations of God, which he had told that they could be beneficial in the very beginning, but then we have to put them beneath the cloud of forgetting. Even these, because they give a sweet, pleasant sensation. And the sweet, pleasant sensation has a problem. It is because of the pleasantness of it, it distracts us. In meditations, therefore, there is a beautiful book about Vedanta. It comes in many other such books as well. That book is Vedanta Sara. Is taken up as a primer for the study of Vedanta. A primer not because it is a primer in the sense only some raw ideas are given. No, primer in the sense that if you want in nutshell, at a quick glance, all the various concepts of Vedanta put together, then that book becomes quite useful. And it is also from the beginning, means you, it doesn't require any previous knowledge. So in that sense, premier. So it tells about the obstacles in meditation. Various obstacles are told there, like you feel drowsy and sleepy, and otherwise you are okay running about, sit for meditation. One gentleman who comes here always has this complaint. Very nice, and I told, well, that used to happen to me too, don't worry. That as soon as he sits for meditation, the sleep overtakes. And where he is sitting, people start looking at it, at him, because the snoring also comes from there. So it is, he says, so what can I do? As soon as I sit for meditation, I thought it is because I didn't get good sleep, so I slept more. But still the same thing, it is, there are reasons for that. So that is one of the obstacles, and others I am not going to discuss them all here. But one obstacle given is that you start experiencing the pleasant sensation. In meditation, as the meditation ripens, the door for bliss starts opening. And God is bliss. And then as you are moving closer, the fragments of that bliss start coming to you. And now, instead of forging ahead further, you start running after those fragments and start enjoying them. Thus, you do not proceed further. This becomes an obstacle, that pleasant things. Okay, then God and I, and so what will happen when we meet? Shall we have a drink together or whatever, you know, all these questions, do they come? And it is very pleasant. And the pleasant, whatever is pleasant, you know, attracts our mind to it. And thus we forget that it is, it always happens in the journey. I have experience, you know, to go on a very long road trip. Now, once people stop either for filling the car or filling their tummies or bathroom, and then it is not very easy to pull them back and put in the car. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, what is being sold there? Oh, well, this coffee seems to be good. And it is an unending process, really, very troublesome because of the pleasant sensation of it. And the problem with it is we forget that how much time we are wasting there. So, here also in meditation, a pleasant sensation comes. And mind, instead of forging ahead, it starts dwelling on it. Therefore, it is harmful. The next chapter actually is very beautiful chapter about the discussion as to how and why should we push it. Isn't it good or bad? Tell me that this thought and all this great counseling that we get from these questions, the wonderful ideas that come up, are they good or not good? And if they are good, why should I put them under a cloud of forgetting? This chapter, we cannot study it during this course, but it is beautiful. I had thought earlier that at least we should finish this chapter 8, but it is not going to be. The clock in front of me is telling already 8:27. So, we shall discontinue this discussion. Whatever little we studied, friends, I myself felt immensely benefited by it. Whenever I study this book, it is a great privilege to immerse oneself into that contemplative mode and the urgency, the need to get right to the goal by pushing aside all distractions. And maybe by the grace of God, if it is like that, we may take up the remaining chapters next summer. Any questions about what we studied today? Yes, Paul? Mantra. And not allowing any other thought. That mantra is God. That mantra is God. Then you can have any figure of God that is, whatever is your chosen deity. Associate the mantra with the chosen deity. And that's it. Do not, if other thoughts try to enter, put this shield of mantra. Because our thoughts, you know, they are connected to words. It is without words, the thoughts also cannot come. It is therefore, if you are already repeating one word, the others don't come. I was knocking on the door of a friend. and then and even called his name out, but he didn't answer. I thought he must be asleep, so I came away. Actually, he was not asleep. He had some other music going on, and his ears, music or something, and his ears had those earphones. And therefore, he did not hear the knocking on the door or my calling his name. As they, I point is that if you are having these earplugs, not plugs, but the earphones, which are repeating this mantra, then the other words will not get heard. The other distracting thoughts will not be able to penetrate it. So, this is the way that one should meditate, go forward. Yeah. So, let us conclude with the closing prayers. Our summer break, as it gets called, not that it is really a break as such, it is, but it is coming to a close soon. And before that, we have a summer program on September 5, that is the next Saturday. It is the Krishna festival. So please read the program. It is from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is the birthday of Lord Krishna. And so we have many different programs there, like the prayers, meditations, discourse, and little worship, meditative dances, and so forth. So, and there is a kirtan by a very nice expert party coming. They have performed here earlier also, and they will be performing this. The program will be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, you are requested, invited to attend from 11 to 4 all if you can, or otherwise whatever part of it you can, you are welcome. This is not that like the mantra whole, but you can attend it partly also. Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.